This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
There are two reasons, and again, what I've stated all day, I really hope that the 49ers do not trade Debo now. If you need to move off of him, do it next March, but I fear that they will. There are two things that are very businessy, which is not the fun part of this. None of us like it. But there's two things that are very businessy that are bouncing around in my head today with regard to this whole thing. Number one, and I've stated it a couple of times, so just a quick summary. I feel like with Christian McCaffrey's presence, the need for Debo to run the ball has lessened, and the 49ers may well have reached a point where they're like, look, we love Debo, but we're overpaying. He is being paid like a wide receiver one. He is not. And he is being paid like a number one option Swiss Army knife, and he is not.
Right.
I would argue that as much as this may sound weird, Debo Samuel is option three in this offense. McCaffrey one. I think Ayuk is two. And Debo is three.
I mean, he might be four.
He might be four.
Kittle had more catches than he did. He had more targets than he did.
I don't want to upset anybody with like what feels like a political statement, but I could see the Niners' point if they're sitting in a room going, we love Debo, but he's overpaid.
Right.
So that's business part number one. Business part number two is I'm so struck by the fact that the 49ers have clearly been making and taking calls about their wide receiver room for a matter of weeks. And they went into this draft, and instead of deciding, we got to move off of Brandon, we're not going to sign him, or we got to move off of Debo because he's a battering ram and getting older, instead of saying that, they went, either. We're open to moving on from either.
Or neither.
Maybe.
That's the part I think that is the most interesting.
Well, that's the leverage they have.
Right.
The leverage they have when they call these teams is we can walk away.
Right.
We can just play with Debo and Brandon.
And you've been saying
year.
It all week that you got to have a stomach for this stuff.
Yep.
And not only for the free agency and the game of chicken that you're going to be playing with Brandon Ayuk between now and the opener in September when the schedule comes out, we'll know exactly who and where that game is. But you got to have the stomach for this as well. And Kyle and John clearly do, because they got offers for Brandon Ayuk, and they didn't panic. They didn't do something that they weren't comfortable doing. And if the offer that they got came from whatever team and the compensation was not what they wanted, they simply said no. And then they went out and drafted a receiver anyway because they liked the receiver. He was high on their board. And, you know, like you said, go ahead and find a can and kick it down the road. And if you have to keep all three guys, you can. And your team would probably be better than if you wound up trading Debo Samuel. Is Buffalo on the clock? Not quite.
Not yet.
Almost.
Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, broadcast has started, but they're just panning out to show all of the crazy human beings who have gathered for this draft.
For day two.
Who apparently, I don't even think they went home. I don't think they went home. They've been there the whole time. Look at all these people.
The estimated crowd yesterday was 250,000.
The NFL draft has turned into visually what looks like old History Channel footage of,
totally.
Of dictators speaking. You know, when they're like on this like elevated platform and there's just all like a sea of people sitting here listening to somebody speak. It is unbelievable what has happened to this event.
Yeah.
And look, I get it. It's a ton of fun, and it is. It's like we talk about a lot. There's very little left in American content where it's not sort of canned. You don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
And you need to watch it live.
And like it's unifying,
there's
Mark.
There's very little of that.
This is not like, you know, Democratic candidate or Republican candidate. This is the National Football League. And even if your team is not drafting, whoever comes up here at 33 to Buffalo, every single person in that crowd of 250,000 is going to have an opinion. Either I like the player, I like the pick, or that was a reach, or he's a bum, and that was terrible, they blew it. The draft is a unifying experience of humanity. It reminds me of being in Vatican City to see the Pope with 500,000 other people for Palm Sunday Mass. Everybody's there to see the one dude, and he's up there, Dominus Hominis, and he's doing all his thing. And,
I mean,
you know, he's blessing the people, and he's serving the wafers and the whole deal. It's like everybody there was unified for the one purpose, and that's kind of what the draft is.
Yeah, it has become that, certainly. You know, you get a fan base together, and everybody gathers around, and it's and we talked about this earlier in the week. It does strike me as funny, because the payoff doesn't seem like what you would want it to be,
right,
to do what you do. Like, there are people that gather. You've got, I mean, how many Lions fans? But every team seemed to have a contingent of people who painted their faces, got all of their friends and family members. They got XXL jerseys. They got stains on them. They're drunk. They're eating everything you're not supposed to eat. And they all gather around. And then what is it you're waiting for? Roger Goodell's like, so, here's a name. And they're like, ah! At like, okay, what happens now?
Right.
Like, you just...
You wait for another name. What? I was just thinking about you and your experience. What if you went to a Pearl Jam concert, outdoor venue, 100,000 people, and Eddie Vedder comes out and the crowd goes wild. And he just simply, he walks up and he goes, even flow. And he walks away.
Right.
He just announces the name of the song.
All he says is, I'm excited to be here.
Even
and then
flow.
He leaves.
And he reads the name of a song that they would perform, but they're not going to perform it because that would be like an NFL game. So you go to a concert and they don't play the song. They just tell you the song that they would play, you know, just like, you know, they're announcing Caleb Williams and the crowd goes wild. Guess what? In 5 months, you get to see him play football.
Oh my God.
But in the meantime, New England's on the clock.
Yeah.
You know, it's just hilarious.
It is. Well, and Roger Goodell, in a brand new suit. He went home. That's good to know. He's back in a different suit. It appears his back has survived the day yesterday, and he is addressing the crowd right now. So we're about to be open for business in round number two. And today feels different than yesterday in that there are a number of reporters on both sides of the fence here. For some reason, and this is just in my view, you tell me if you see it different. The arc of things since the 49ers got Ricky Pearsall. We went to bed last night and it very much felt like the 49ers were going to trade Deebo Samuel by 5 o'clock today. Something happened throughout the day that made people feel like it was less likely, even though I have no idea what it was that happened. What happened? There's no report that says it's now unlikely.
Well, here's Michael Silver from just a few moments ago and from the SF Chronicle. Regarding a potential Deebo Samuel trade, right now there does not appear to be a team that would meet the 49ers asking price tonight. That could obviously change. All it takes is one team, but at this moment, it's quiet.
That's beautiful.
It's quiet.
That's beautiful.
That's from 7 minutes ago, Michael Silver, regarding a potential Deebo Samuel trade. And as I've said, I do think if it happens tonight, it would happen before Washington's done with its second pick.
Soon. I don't know. Well, at 40. Okay, so yeah.
They have two picks.
I agree with you that if it's going to happen, I think it's going to happen during our show.
Agreed.
That's what I would say.
So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
That's great.
Because Grandy, do not hit even the front end of it right now. But Grandy could hit the little button, the breaking news button.
And I'll tell you this.
It could happen at any
moment. If it happens during Grandy and Sterling,
yeah,
I'm going to be mad at John Lynch.
Hell yeah.
You got to do this before 6.
Well,
don't throw Grandy the bone.
No, it's not even about the show. But like by 6 o'clock, they're going to be in the third round, aren't they? I mean, the third round
that
by then.
Be late second.
We're not doing this without getting a second rounder out of it.
What do you guys think Devo's value is? The fact that there's a legit conversation about it being an early second kind of blows my mind.
I think the 49ers stated, and again, this is all lying season, but the 49ers, the report went out yesterday that they would be seeking a second and a third. Second and a third.
I think I got news to them. I don't think they're going to get that.
Well, maybe that's why they're not trading these guys.
Well, if I can refer you to the Michael Silver tweet, he says it does not appear that a team would meet the Niners' asking price. And if that's their asking price, and Grady, you obviously think that that's too rich for Debo Samuel, and maybe the other 31 teams agree with you. Because if the Niners are asking for a second and, let's even say it's a fourth or a fifth, a second and, or maybe it's a second and a swap in the fourth or something.
Right, there could be compensation going back, more draft compensation. Like, what if they got a two and a four, but sent back a five? Like, so I could see that. Listen, I know the financial ramifications of all of this, but also, Debo freaking Samuel. Debo Samuel. He's a very, very good football player who's under contract for two more seasons. I'm sure the Niners are like, we're not giving him away.
Right.
We don't have to do this right now.
And other teams who are looking for receivers are thinking the same thing. We don't have to do this right now because they can draft a rookie. And even though he may not be ready right away in week one, Mark.
Or he may not be good at all.
Right. And Debo Samuel may, you know, all the abilities that Bucky Brooks was talking about, durability, reliability, dependability, these are things that Debo has struggled with. So if you're in another team, do you want to give up your second, your high second, and another pick to get a guy who might not play more than 10 games? It's risky.
Everything is.
Right.
The whole night is.
But you're better off, if I'm a GM, I would rather shoot my shot, it's all I got, with my pick, as opposed to giving up my pick for a guy who I don't necessarily think is that dependable.
Grandy, can you give us a point of clarification? Because I'm looking at the Bills are on the clock right now. And they've got 6 minutes and 20 seconds, which feels like these second-round picks have the exact same clock as the first-round pick. Is that right? Do you get 10 minutes per pick?
Let me check.
Because if that's the case, and we're not getting to the end of the second round.
Well, the NBA is five, I know, for the second round.
Yeah,
the NFL might be 10.
It's either 10 or like maybe they started it at 7. I thought that the timing goes down for the second round. But maybe it doesn't, and that's why they started earlier? I thought they just did that because it was Friday.
Right.
Everybody knew.
Well, we got an NBA game underway already. Things in the third quarter.
Well underway. Yeah.
7 minutes in the second round.
Okay, so it's 7 minutes.
Five in the third.
All right, so it is going to speed up.
Yes, that according to The Athletic.
All right, look, if I were you, I wouldn't go anywhere. The Bills are on the clock, and the Patriots are about to be, and they both need receivers. Mike Silver says it's all quiet. Then again, it is lying season. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Willard and Dibbs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. While you're there, you can hear what Herm Edwards, the former college coach
Hello.
Of Ricky Pearsall, and Brandon Ayuk's coach, thinks about the selection last night. That is from earlier today on the Morning Roast. All of our content is there all of the time. More coming up. The draft is underway. Willard and Dibbs.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
The pick is in, and with the 33rd pick in the NFL draft and the first pick of the second round, the Buffalo Bills select Keon Coleman, wide receiver, Florida State. Sources also telling Jordan Schultz that both the Bills, which is obvious now, and the Patriots are, quote, highly unlikely to trade for Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, there you go. And if you look at the best available, according to many mocks, ESPN, they've got a handful of wide receivers who are available, and among the best available remaining on the board, you've got A.D. Mitchell and Ladd McConkey, as you mentioned. So if you're one of these teams like New England, like Washington, who are coming up soon and in need of a receiver, there's draftable players right there.
Well, the Patriots just traded the pick, but not to the 49ers. They just traded the pick to the Los Angeles Chargers. So the Chargers move in to pick 34. They also need receivers, of course. They went with Joe Alt in the first round. So we'll keep you up to date. The Chargers are on the clock, and in fact, the pick is already in. Pick number 34. New England moves down to 37 and picks up a fourth-round pick. The Chargers pick up a fifth-round pick.
Right, so they
move back a little bit into the fifth round and move up three picks here. We'll tell you who they take. We'll also tell you what Jake Hutchinson has to say from Niners HQ, our own on the scene here on Willard and Dibs. First of all, hey, Jake, what's cooking, man?
What's going on? Thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, so what's it look like down there right now? How would you rate the possibility of a big trade here in the next hour or two?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. I think there's a lot of receivers who cost way less than Deebo Samuel, who are young, you know, who you could pair with. You know, if you're like the Patriots, like a Drake May. That said, I think Deebo would be a really good fit for the Patriots because he's a guy with a young quarterback. He can just kind of dink and dunk the ball around. I gut feeling don't think they're going to move him, but I think that could trade if somebody comes up, you know, with a second-round pick. I could see the 49ers, you know, taking a second, maybe throwing in like 124 to do that, but my gut is Deebo doesn't get dealt, but that's not the strongest gut feeling I've ever had.
Yeah, it feels more and more as we get deeper. And I was mentioning to Mark, if we get past Washington at 40, because we know that New England likely needs a receiver, and maybe they would have taken one here, but the Chargers also need a receiver, and it feels like they're about to take one here. So if they don't end up trading Deebo, how do you think that the troika of Deebo, Ayuk, and Pearsall will look with a team that only uses two wide receivers most of the time?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I was just talking about that with all the other reporters down here, all of whom are very hungry and getting increasingly cranky by the second, which they're already cranky as they are. But I think it's a question of, do you just rotate Deebo more? I mean, he's a guy who's had issues staying healthy, staying fresh throughout the season. And I think Pearsall is a guy you can play. He's played a lot in a slot, but he can play anywhere. And I think the 49ers might have an interest in rotating Deebo a little more, getting Pearsall involved. Like, he's not a guy that's just going to be played like Ronnie Bell, like, you know, once every few games, or, you know, you get five offensive plays a game. Like, he's going to be involved, but I think Deebo makes the most sense in terms of keeping him fresh, rotating him out a little bit. And it's also a situation where Debo's going to get hurt at some point this season. Christian McCaffrey will probably have something he's dealing with. Pearsall is insurance against all of that. And, you know, if you hold on to Debo, you just have an insane receiver in Pearsall, who's a guy I love, who I think can play truly anywhere, elite athleticism, like tracks the ball better than any receiver in this class. You just have a guy who's ready to play day one and could probably return punts for you. Maybe the value wasn't what people wanted it to be, but he is a stellar player that I feel very, very confident about in the 49ers offense.
All right, with the 34th pick in the draft, the Chargers, who traded up, select wide receiver Ladd McConkey from Georgia. So wide receivers to both of the 33rd and 34th slot, and they've got nothing to do with Debo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk. We're talking with our own Jake Hutchinson here on Willard and Dibs, who's at Niners HQ. More on this, because I'm interested in your gut feeling that Debo stays tonight. If that's the case, what do you see as sort of the residual effect for both of the Niners wide receivers in all that's been discussed over the last few weeks?
I think it's something where, listen, I think they're going to be used to it a little bit. For Ayuk specifically, it's something where this is how the negotiations go with the 49ers. Some teams, like the Eagles, and the Lions, they just say, okay, we love you. We're going to pay you. The 49ers go, we love you. Why don't we stress everyone out over the next few months and bring this thing up to the finish line as slowly and as agonizingly as we can, because we want to get the most value. And for the most part, it's worked. That said, you do burn through goodwill a little bit by doing that. And with Debo, it's interesting if as they reportedly promised, that he would not be traded if he hears that from them, and then they go out and they are actively trying to trade him. That's something that might piss him off. That said, a pissed off Debo Samuel, maybe not the worst thing in the world.
Right. And let's talk about that quote unquote promise for a minute, because we've heard about this. I never saw it actually spoken or actually reported. Does that sound like something that Kyle and John would say to a player after what we heard last night, where they were joking about how they would trade each other?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think that's something that they would commonly do unless, you know, a player's agent was very concerned about it and would reach out to them. I thought that was interesting, and the fact that they are clearly shopping him makes me scratch my head on that a little bit. And Debo is the one that always made the more sense to trade. Like, even if you do take a $22 million cap hit, you're still saving $7 million. He's still a guy on the decline. Like, he's a guy that makes sense if you could get a second rounder for him. So for them to provide that assurance, if that's what they did, and Mike Silver's a very good reporter who's usually locked in on all this stuff, I think that's odd and possibly a little out of character, you know, on their behalf. That said, Debo is maybe Kyle Shanahan's favorite player of all time, so I could see it. But if that's indeed what they did and then they went out and shopped him, it's a little head-scratching.
Agree with you. Jake Hutchinson, our own on the 49er beat, and is at Niners HQ tonight, and we're talking it out as the second round is underway. The Cardinals trade out of number 35. It is the Falcons now in that pick, and the pick is in. We'll pass it along as soon as it comes in. So, Jake, bigger picture with everything you're saying, maybe they don't deal anyone tonight. Is there any chance in your mind, with the way this has played out, that Debo Samuel is still on the team after this year?
I have a hard time seeing a way that works, unless, you know, next year they were to move Ayuk and Debo looks like this reinvigorated version of himself. The money, to me, it just doesn't make sense for them to keep him. And he's a guy that, like, he takes a beating like running backs. Most running backs don't last until, you know, they're 26, 27. And Debo takes a beating that other wide receivers simply don't. So I really, really don't see a scenario where he's on this team after this year. They'd save too much money, and he's just been in decline for so long. It doesn't make sense to me.
How does this affect the short to medium term viability of Christian McCaffrey and even George Kittle if they end up keeping Debo and Brandon Ayuk gets the big bag and you start to press up against the cap a little bit?
Yeah, I think they're fine if they get rid of Debo. I mean, they're going to have at least one casualty next year, And I think Debo is the one that makes sense. Now, I think they will take that, you know, as long as they can. And maybe Kittle looks more in decline than Debo next year, and he's the casualty. But to me, Debo is the one where you save the most money. He's the likeliest to still be in decline. And I think McCaffrey has a contract where they can kind of do whatever they want with it. They guarantee him a little bit more money every year. But when they acquired him, they got this basically 3 years, I think $12 million, and none of it was guaranteed. So they can do whatever they want with that deal. I think they'll keep McCaffrey as long as he's still churning. He's obviously a freak of nature and an outlier. But, yeah, I think it's Debo who's going to be the casualty.
Okay, hit the thingamabob there. All right. With the 35th pick, the Atlanta Falcons, I apologize to his whole family. I have no idea how to say this. They are taking Clemson defensive tackle Rook. Yeah, will you say it for me, Jake?
Yep, Rook Ororo. He was a guy I mocked to the 49ers. He's a freak athlete, defensive tackle. Just that's a good pick.
Okay, give me the name.
Atlanta traded up to get him. Rook Ororo.
Ororo.
Yeah, three rows.
Rook Ororo. And listen, yeah. I had to practice this a bunch of times. Ororo.
You're a pro, Jake.
Yeah, like it sounds like you just came from the dentist when you say it.
Rook Ororo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You sound like you got Novocaine going for sure when you say this name.
Exactly, but he's a guy who launches off the line of scrimmage. Like, he would have been a great fit for the Niners, I think. But yeah, that's an interesting pick for him.
Okay, Washington Commanders right now on the clock. Yep. We'll keep you up to date as the picks all roll in. But I mean, the story is, I know that you sort of came on here, Jake, and said that you felt that this was it right away, but picks are coming in hot and heavy. There's already been two trades here in this second round and absolutely nothing involving the 49ers.
Yeah, to me, I think if the 49ers were to get in the second round with a trade for Debo, I think they'd have to give something up. To me, if it were, like, say, Debo and, you know, a mid-round second rounder and the 49ers give up that Trey Lance pick, which I don't think they want to hold on to at 124, that could be an interesting scenario. You know, if a team maybe at the back of the second round who's, you know, in need of a wide receiver and can't get one and wants a guy who they can, you know, dink and dunk the ball to, give him easy targets, that could be interesting. But, you know, we'll see.
With Ororo now off the board and somebody who you mock to the Niners, where do they find that kind of a three technique and an A-gap wrecker, and also be able to address the O-line in the secondary? Are we starting to look at priorities, or are we still in best available mode for the Niners, Jake?
Yeah, I think it's hard to see how it'll play out right now, but I think two guys they'd like at tackle would be Kingsley Suamatia out of BYU and Roger Rosengarten out of Washington.
Yeah.
Those are two guys who intrigue me in the second round for them. I think would be fit sort of developmental guys. At defensive tackle, there's Dwayne Carter at Duke, who's probably going to go a little lighter. But Michael Hall, defensive tackle out of Ohio State, and Johnny Newton, who's still on the board, are both sort of high-end defensive tackles that are still sticking around. But it'll be interesting. The second part of the second round could get a little interesting. And I wouldn't be shocked if, like, Javon Bullard, safety out of Georgia, if he was still there, if they, you know, went out and got him.
Jake, what are they doing about cornerback?
Yeah, that's here's the thing. I actually think for the time being, the Niners are not in a terrible spot at corner if they keep Lenore in the slot. I think he's better there. I don't really understand moving him outside. I think they actually have a decent amount of coverage aside from Charvarius Ward. They've got Ambry Thomas, who's whatever. They've got Isaac Yadam. They've got Rock Ya-Sin, who they just picked up. And Darryl Luter Jr., who we didn't see much of, but they were really, really fond of. So that's four guys to compete for one spot. I think that if they address corner, you know, somebody like Renardo Green out of Florida is a really good player. Florida State, he's a really, really good tactical player. Like, he understands the position. But they could go more developmental. There's some guys that are in the fourth, fifth round that could be, you know, sneaky good value. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know how highly they're going to, you know, evaluate outside corner.
Jake, I mean, we talked through a lot there and maybe didn't ask the simplest thing. Do you like what they did last night?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. It's Ricky Pearsall was a guy that I really fell in love with throughout the draft process. And I think, you know, some people are like, well, he should have been a second rounder. That stuff doesn't matter. You know, if he's a first, second rounder, they weren't going to get him at 63, and he might have been gone by pick 32. Like, you don't know. And, yep. And front offices around the league have raved about Pearsall. You know, you saw C.J. Stroud. That guy understands ball. Like, he's a smart quarterback, and he was, you know, pissed the Niners got him. This is a guy who has so much polish as a receiver, who's so athletic, who just works hard, and doesn't care about his own well-being, which is actually pretty important for a receiver going over the middle.
Yeah, sounds a lot like the receivers that the 49ers already have going over the middle, so that probably spoke to him. Hey, Jake, great stuff, man. We love having you. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me on.
Okay, there it is. Our own Jake Hutchinson at Niners HQ with the latest on what's going on. And, yeah, it starts to feel like it. I'm thrilled because if you go back –
been saying it the whole time.
I don't want to victory lap this.
You can't until the end of the weekend.
It's not done yet.
No.
It's not done yet. But my hope, this wasn't a prediction, my hope was that the 49ers did address receiver and keep their guys and have that be something where the new receiver could learn on the job and by year two be ready to really pounce. And that is what I believe is going to happen. I think that it sounds like the landscape is leaning toward Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel both being on the 49ers next year, and then Ricky Pearsall might be ready for a really, really big role in 2025 when Deebo Samuel's probably not on the team anymore.
Yes, but also some sort of a role this year. Jake, with a good breakdown of Deebo Samuel and the likelihood of Deebo having to miss some games, which tends to be what happens, and also a little bit of a rotation. And if you look at just the snap counts for Ayuk and Deebo and the rest of the receivers, as much as Ayuk is their one, Mark, he only played 75% of the snaps this year. So it's not like he's out there every single play. And Deebo played 66% of the snaps. So what they like to do on the defensive line, they also will do to an extent with their wide receivers. And, you know, when they go to two tight ends and two running backs, 22 personnel, you have one receiver on the field, and a lot of times that's Deebo, sometimes it's Brandon Ayuk, it just depends on the rotation, but they use two tight ends a fair amount, probably 15% of the time, which means one of those two guys won't be on the field.
Okay, we have a couple developments to pass along. One of them
major
being,
developments.
It's an interesting one
because you're giving me a look as I was breaking down my 22 personnel, and normally your eyes glaze over, but this time your eyes got sharp.
Diana Rossini spoke to Deebo Samuel
and
tweeted a quote.
Okay, Diana.
Diana says, and this just came out 1 minute ago, I spoke to Deebo Samuel on the phone and asked his reaction to the 49ers drafting of his potential replacement and to the reports that they've explored trading him. Quote, I know what's going on, but it is what it is. I'm good staying with them. I'm chilling. That's from Deebo Samuel. And it is interesting because where my eye goes is, quote, I'm good staying with them.
I'm good.
Right. But
how you doing? Fine.
Exactly. And it's football and it's business. And so I'm not concerned about him playing well, but I don't know. Sounds annoyed.
Yeah.
Annoyed.
I know what's going on.
You explored trading me and drafted someone who plays in the slot with a first round draft pick. Annoyed.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
I'm good staying with them. I'm chilling.
I'll play.
Right.
I'm rich, so I'm chilling.
Exactly.
But annoyed.
Yeah.
That's how I read that.
I read it the same way. I'm good staying with them. I'm good staying with them. Not I'm thrilled to be a Niner and I can't wait to strap it on and help this new guy assimilate to how we do things down here at 4949 Centennial. I'm good with staying with them. I'm chilling. That's, man, it's an interesting way to do it, but how can you not have your feelings hurt a little bit?
Sure.
I mean, he's been a monster for this team. He's 19 problems.
Look, I mean, the feelings are, that's exactly what they are.
In April, too.
They're going to get hurt. All right, I can actually pass along to, oh, dang, they moved on from it so quick. I know what the...
The pick is in? Oh, from...
Here, Grandy, you do the Washington
pick. The Washington pick, Jerjan Newton.
Okay, and then...
He goes by Johnny Newton.
Okay.
Johnny Newton, yep. And with the
37th formal names.
37th pick, the New England Patriots take Washington wide receiver Jalen Polk. Polk. So, the Bills, the Chargers, and the Patriots have all addressed receiver through the draft already just in the last 15 minutes.
Right.
Okay, so three of the teams that have absolutely been bounced around as teams that might talk to the 49ers and might be interested in their receivers, all three of them come out hot here to open day two and take receivers to start the second round.
Yeah, which tells you all you need to know, and also the timing of the Diana Rossini conversation with Debo. It seems that Debo may have gotten a call from John Lynch and Kyle and Jed York too, kind of like the rookie got a call from all three, and they probably let Debo know, hey, Debo, turns out we like you, and we look forward to seeing you in camp, and you're probably not going to get traded because you're running out of teams that would expend resources to acquire Debo Samuel. And you still have A.D. Mitchell out of Texas, who is yet to be drafted. And he's slipping and sliding here in the second round. But I mean, Jalen Polk goes, and his teammate is still out there, Jalen McMillan, who is mocked as a second-round wide receiver. Your draft crush is still out there.
Oh, Malachi Corley.
Yep.
Watch out. He's got thick thighs, Dibs.
Yeah, he sure does.
He's got some thick thighs.
A lot of receivers are still available, so it does not look like Debo is going to be on the move here tonight.
Starting to feel like not. But again, all three sentences. I'm chilling is funny because that's like, in fact, I'll take all four sentences. Look, these are words on a laptop, so I can't put tone to them. But let's take all four sentences separately. I know what's going on.
Right. They're trying to trade me
or dump me next year. And just drafted my replacement.
Right.
Next sentence.
I got NFL Network here.
It is what it is.
Which is my favorite expression ever, because everything is essentially what it is.
But you say that, it's never a positive. This is never a positive. There's no way that you would get off. Oh, hey, Mom, I got the job offer. You did? Yeah, it is what it is. It's not positive.
Yeah.
It is what it is I'm coping.
Yes. It's a concession.
Right. Followed by, I'm good staying with them.
Right.
... I'm chilling. Yeah. Yeah. Is completely put off and annoyed by what the 49ers have done over the last 48
hours. And the I'm chilling is in reference to the fact that he's going to make $28 million this year playing football. So, yeah.
For somebody.
For the Niners.
Yeah.
And so, and after that, he probably, I don't know probably, but odds are he gets cut and the team has to absorb a dead cap hit. It's not as big as if they did it now.
Huh. What a fascinating turn of events. And listen, you brought this up earlier, and I think it is absolutely a fair thing to follow. We asked Bucky Brooks about it. He said, look, it's life in the big city, and you'll deal with it, and it's all good. There's room for everybody, and maybe there will be this year, but there have been those, and you're one of them, who've wondered out loud the idea of, we drafted your replacement, now go play for us again, and let's win a Super Bowl. Is that awkward and or difficult, and how do you navigate it? And I think it's a very fair question, especially with him saying, I'm good staying with them.
Right.
It's almost like nobody asked if you were good staying with them, but you brought it up. So the insinuation is, this is the kind of thing that might make somebody want to leave town, but he's not going to do that. This is going to be the Bears watching. That's all.
For sure.
Bears watching.
And if I'm Debo and I'm dealing with a nagging sort of ailment or a minor injury, how motivated am I going to be to go out there and risk my future knowing that, A, my replacement's already in the building, and B, everybody knows how much easier it is to move off me at the end of the year. So it's just human nature. It's not to say that he's going to jake it, but if I'm Debo Samuel and I'm making $28.6 million, to bust my hump knowing that it's probably my last year and you've already drafted my replacement? I don't know, man.
Yeah. All right. So we'll let you hear a little bit from Pearsall coming up next, but mainly your calls. Let's talk Pearsall. Let's talk Debo. The second round is underway. We're presented by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises. It's Willard and Dibs.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, with the 39th pick in the draft, Los Angeles Rams, who traded up to that spot, take Braden Fisk, defensive tackle, Florida State. We also add that while you were sleeping, the Tennessee Titans, with the 38th pick, took Tavondre Sweat, defensive tackle, Texas. So it's been a run on DTs, four of them out of the last five picks in the NFL draft. Rams make a move to shore up the retirement of one Aaron Donald.
Yes, and I would imagine there'll be more trades and more movement here in this portion of the show. And I see that Philadelphia has traded with Washington and moved up to number 40.
Number 40.
To either get a wide receiver or a defensive tackle. This is normally the way it goes when they're starts to be a run on a position. You see a lot of teams freak out and instantly try to trade up to get into a spot where they can still get their guy.
I can tell you who the Eagles picked. You want to hit the thingamabobber again? Hit the
thingamabobber back to back with the bobber?
With the 40th pick, the Philadelphia Eagles take Cooper DeJean, defensive back, okay. Iowa. Defensive back. That's now the Eagles have done this twice. They went DB, they went corner in round one with the guy that that many had sort of, I don't want to say mocked, but hoped that the 49ers, I remember Larry saying yesterday, if they do move up, if they trade Brandon Ayuk, then maybe they're going to go up there and get Quinyon Mitchell, the CB out of Toledo. And so the Eagles end up getting him. They're showing up their DBs big time because, let's be real, they stunk last year. Their defense was absolutely terrible. And so it looks like they're working on the offense with money, and they're working on the defense through the draft. That seems to be the Eagles' strategic approach right now.
Yeah, two picks, two corners, and they traded up to do it here in the second round. So clearly a plan to try to get that defense better, like you said, through the draft. They still have a good defensive line, but their secondary was absolutely shoddy. Shoddy, Grandy. Don't dump that. It's an actual word. So, yeah, Philadelphia making big moves here in the second, and now you've got Green Bay sitting at 41 on the clock, and you know, our guy Kool-Aid still out there.
Kool-Aid McKinstry's still out there, and the 49ers are only 22 picks away. So still going to be a minute, but we will definitely be with you as we get there. And who knows, there have already been like four trades just in this round.
Yeah.
So clearly a lot more moving and shaking as far as the way the thing is falling right now. Let's hear from Ricky Pearsall a little bit, though. As we move through the draft, we will continue to update you on every pick. Packers on the clock. Kool-Aid still available. Niners still 22 picks away. Ricky was introduced to the assembled media today in Santa Clara. Had some interesting things to say. Listen to who he picked when they asked him who he models his game after.
I like to say I'm my own player at the end of the day, man. I feel like, you know, every football player is different and unique in their own ways. It's just about watching film and learning from other guys and kind of just creating it to your, in your own way, in your own game. And I feel like I've done a good job of that, you know, watching dudes that are doing at a high level, like guys Debo and Brandon Ayuk. So, you know, just putting some of the things that they're doing at a high level and having success with and putting into my game.
Okay. It's one of those things, like, there's certain stock questions that you have to ask a new draftee.
Right.
Who do you model your game after? Well, I'm my own player. That's how it always starts. But then he gives love to his new and former teammate, Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
The name of the week, man. Brandon Ayuk's got a lot of run this week for basically absolutely nothing has happened other than he sent a text to John Lynch.
Yeah, and it's the way it goes, you know, in draft season where you've got a team that is set to pay a player, but they haven't paid a player, and so maybe they're going to trade him, and then maybe they'll trade Debo. And turns out the Niners aren't probably going to do either of those things, but the Brandon Ayuk name will continue to get thrown around as we get deeper into the summer and we start to circle back. And once Justin Jefferson signs and CeeDee Lamb, if he signs before Brandon, those contracts will spur Brandon's name to come back into center stage.
The Packers have traded that pick to the New Orleans Saints, so it is now the New Orleans Saints who are going to be on the clock at number 41. We will keep you up to date there. Keep hearing from Ricky Pearsall, newest Niner, and take your calls throughout the 5 o'clock hour as we follow these picks. If you want to talk about Pearsall or where the Niners are, again, my absolute dream scenario is seemingly becoming more and more likely, which is kick the can down the road. I want Pearsall, Debo, Ayuk extended, everybody on the team, win the damn bowl, deal with this next March. It's kind of my personality, Dibs. When it's no different than making that appointment with the dentist or taking that test that you missed in college. Like, when something is not fun and somebody offers you, like, hey, do you want to do this now or do you want to wait 11 months to do it? Yeah, sign me up for waiting 11 months.
Right.
You're going to move on from Debo Samuel? Let's wait. I don't want to do that. I know you might have to do that. Do that later, not now.
Yeah, you don't have to do it now, and it appears they're not going to do it now, although they would have done it now had they gotten the compensation back that they were looking for, but it's clear that they didn't get the offers that they were looking for, so now they're in a spot where they can wait 11 months, and the only real question is, how's Debo going to do waiting 11 months, knowing that the likelihood is that he's going to get moved off of at that point?
Again, Saints on the clock will keep you up to date. Ricky Pearsall says, and you mentioned this earlier, he's got some background in the area where Brock Purdy played growing up. And indeed, they did play against one another in high school.
We played each other. I think he put 70 on my team. So, you know, he was a hell of a player. I remember him for sure because he was in the end zone a lot and threw a lot of touchdowns. So I'm excited to play with him this time.
Brock hung 70,
man,
on Pearsall's high school team. He was asked what separates him from other wide receivers.
Just being a receiver, you got to be really good at getting open and catching the ball. And those are the two most important things. I think I do a very good job. I think I'm elite at both of those things, first and foremost. The things that separate me, I feel like, is my competitive spirit. And, you know, how I compete on a day-in, day-out basis, and just how detailed I am as a receiver, too, as well, when it comes to being disciplined in my routes or even just off the field, you know, being disciplined in my everyday habits. So I feel like that separates me.
Okay. Listen, again, seems to be smart player, seems to be somebody who the background of everyone who's able to talk about this guy, like, I don't know, man. I haven't heard a bad thing yet. Other than Mel Kiper going, Todd, 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 he should not have been picked in the first round, second round grade.
Sure.
Whatever, Mel. Honestly, whatever.
Right, like Jake Hutchinson said to us earlier, none of that stuff matters. When you pick a guy, it comes down to two things. Either he can play or he can't play. If you take him in the seventh round and he can play, then great. You found a guy who can play, Brock Purdy, in the end of the draft. That's a win. If you take a quarterback in the first three picks and he can't play, that's obviously a loss. And if you would have taken Pearsall at 33, first pick in the second round, as opposed to 31 at the end of the first round, does that make the pick better because you had him at a second round grade?
No.
Separated by two picks? It's nonsense.
Dibs, in many ways, this is the moment we've all been waiting for.
The Debo trade? Are we having a nice sugary drink?
All right, this is the moment that some of us have been waiting for.
Yeah?
With the 41st pick in the NFL draft, the New Orleans Saints have selected Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Kool-Aid!
Cornerback, Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. I'm telling you, man, if they don't do it, New Orleans, don't tell me you know how to party if you don't do it. That press conference, you need to have a big banner up in front of the podium and have him bust through that thing like the Kool-Aid man and then take questions. If you don't do it, you stink, period.
I wonder if he will bring his Chucky doll, a town known for voodoo. He, you know, he loves to carry around his Chucky doll. I wonder if he brings that doll, which is not quite a voodoo doll. Chucky's a doll that comes to life in horror films, but seems like a good fit for New Orleans.
Absolutely. Jake Hutchinson with interesting comments that he's not vibing with the idea that the Niners even need to address that position.
Yeah, interesting. And I think that, again, it's a spot that you probably want to draft with an eye toward the future, knowing that Mooney Ward is expensive and his contract will be coming up. And Demo is a guy who's versatile. He can play in the slot or he can play on the outside. I think that when you look at corner, especially for the 49ers, it's a spot that you always need to address.
One more from Pearsall talking about his relationship with Ayuk. And boy, after the phone rung last night and it was John Lynch, Ricky got another phone call.
We have a really good relationship. Actually, I just got off the phone with him before I got over here on this Zoom call. And he was just congratulating me, man, and just, you know, getting on the call and telling me over and over again, you're a first rounder, man. Like, soak it up. You deserve it. All the work that I put in, because it's been a lot of work put in since we ran routes together. So, you know, I feel like I'm a totally different player since the last time we seen each other, and he's seen it, you know, from afar over when he was watching me at Florida and, you know, I was watching out the Niners. So, you know, it'll be really good to team back up with him and get active.
I think Pearsall, the first 24 hours have been absolutely perfect.
I give it a C+, yeah, Mark.
I know you will. There's only one mistake that he's made so far, and that's calling John Lynch and Jed York coach.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Thanks, coach.
It's like chief or pal or buddy. He called him sir a lot, too.
I don't know, man. Like,
we can play that again here in the 5 o'clock hour.
Jed York is his boss. He'd be calling him coach the first time he talked to him.
Coach is what, you ever go to the Final Four, and I know you have, because that's where we met about 20 years ago. And
Atlanta.
You go in the lobby, and it's like, hey, how you doing, coach? How was the season, coach? Hey, coach, how you doing, coach?
Yeah,
coach.
That's because everybody there is a coach.
Even if you're not a coach, everybody there is coach.
They're all coaches.
And so coach becomes...
It's literally called the coach's hotel.
The vernacular of coach is, hey, coach. Loneil was famous for that. Coach. Yeah. Everybody was coach.
Texans on the clock with the 42nd pick. We'll give that to you in a sec. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal first class money market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.